Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're living in a very interesting time when God is about to do mighty, mighty acts and works to straighten out this old wicked world. Jesus is about to come back. Time is running out, and time to seek the Lord. Always was. But you know, life is not guaranteed to anybody, but eternal life is guaranteed for everyone that wants it. Here on this earth, we're just preparing what we are going to be in eternity. You either prepare for God, for eternal kingdom, or you are going into the lake of fire. There is no in-betweens. And God is God. He always was God. He always will be God. And before I get into my message, this is not part of my message I want to bring up. I will just put it up there just to make sure you know how the Word of God stands when it comes to God and His Word. You cannot separate them. It always was and always will be. It's in John 1 through 5. Brandon, can you put it up? It's very simple and to the point. We have to make sure the Word of God is God. That's the authority. We cannot take it lightly. It's very clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It always was. Like in Psalms 132, he will magnify his word above his name. That's why it's so important to read this book. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, that's the word, was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus and the Word of God are one. To him was life, and the life was the life of men. And there is no other life that we can obtain is that through Jesus, through his word. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the Word of God, because it's God. And when you have your devotions, when you go into the Word of God, you're reading God. That's God. And don't take it lightly. Ask him to reveal himself to this word. It's very much alive because he loves you. And you cannot start anything out. That's the most important thing in your Christian walk when you're, if you become born again, is to dig into what God has to say to you. And before we go into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for a blessing. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you loved us and that you have given your life for us so that we can have life and that more abundantly. You have given us your word so we can read it, the instruction book, how you think and what you think and what you have to say is in our daily conduct, how we ought to live, how to live it, what you mean by doing when we were born again, what our conduct is. You're very clear. You're to the point. You don't hold back any punches. So, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to guide my lips and to use this body, these lips. Lord, I can't do it without you. So I ask you to bless the listeners and bless me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start out in Genesis 8, verses 21, is to show you the condition of man's heart and why we need to turn to this book, to Jesus for salvation. When God, everybody knows, when God destroyed this world through the flood, when God took out all human races, all animals, when he had to know, while you go into the ark, you and your family, I will save you. and I will destroy this whole world for their wickedness. And after the flood, God made a statement. And it's true. And he knows what it says. He says in verse 21, I will just take a portion of it. I will not again curse the ground anymore for men's sake, for the imaginations of men's heart is evil. For the man's heart is evil from his youth. It's continually evil. That is what man's heart is. And you cannot change it. We were born like that. You take a little baby. I'll give you a little example. You just leave it the way it is, the way it's born. Don't discipline it. Don't teach it nothing. It will turn out to be evil. That's his nature. It doesn't, not, nobody has to teach it how to be evil. That's his natural nature. That's what we are. That's what we have become through Adam's fall. When we inherited that curse, we were born sinners. You can't help yourself. We are born sinners and we are on our way into the lake of fire. If not, if somebody doesn't come to rescue you and me. And it happened. God said, I cannot leave you. I cannot leave you hanging there and sending you to hell. That is not God. Because when there is a mistake and there is a fall, when there is something that is happening in our lives, in all the world, when people go around living their own thing, God always has a redemptive plan. And he has a good one. There is no other. There is no other plan. There is no other plan of salvation that God has given you and me. And that is the word of God. That is the cross and his blood that was shed for us on that cruel cross. Not only for our sins, but he destroyed the works of the devil, the works of darkness. He took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross of Calvary, and set you and me totally and completely free. And you are free. There is no other freedom. There is no other salvation given. And those that hear me through radio or YouTube, listen to me. You cannot obtain by going to church or whatever you want to do right things. It doesn't change it. You're still on your way to hell until you turn to the cross of Calvary. And Paul, through Romans, in the Apostle in Romans 6, where Paul outlined it very clearly, what we are, what we have become, and the conduct, what we have to do. Romans is a book where you will understand, and he outlines it very clearly that we need to turn to Jesus. That's your beginning, your foundation is to Jesus, is to the cross. When he wrote the book of Romans, without understanding the book of Romans, we miss it. Because there it outlines your Christian walk, your darkness, your lostness, and it leads us to do what? It leads us to the cross of Calvary. In Romans 6, when Paul the Apostle through the Holy Ghost saying, know this, that the old man is crucified. What old man is he talking about? Not your old man. The old man that's inside of you, the old Adam that we inherited to our earthly father Adam, to our inheritance, to your dad, to my dad, because this nature has been driven on and given on as we come. It always is the same spirit, but that old man was taken out of the way. It was nailed to the cross. And it's the minute you turn to Jesus for salvation, that old man is crucified with Christ. It'd be nailed on the cross. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And here's what God says. Here's the deal. I set you free. I put the new man. I put Jesus inside you. Now you have the power within yourself to live that walk because I'm there. So do not live in this sin anymore. You always have to remember we were sinners. And all of a sudden God translates you and gives you a new man. The inside man, he puts Jesus inside you. It says for in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. What is that in you? The old man died. The old man was taken out because the old man is not there anymore. You were freed from the sin of destruction. You will not go into the lake of fire anymore. You have been passed from death unto life. He took the old away and put in the new. Now, if we be dead with Christ, listen very carefully, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Then he says, in that he died unto sin once, but he dead he lives unto God. How often do you die to sin? How often do we die to sin? Once. Eternal security is coming in there. We turn to Jesus once, forgives you and gives you his new man. You die once, that's where you die. You no more will die and go to hell. You have been passed from death unto life. Now all of a sudden, your whole inside changes, but the sin of flesh is still there. That tendency of sinning is still there. You got to remember, you were used to do your own minds. We're used to do exactly what we want. You have to reprogram yourself. God doesn't do it. You have to do it. That's where we come. That's what we have to work on. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You have to remember, Satan knows you. He studies you. He knows that you are a born again child of God. But you got to remember, the tendency of going astray with your flesh will always, always pull you away from God. That's why you have to work from it. That's why it says, you have been dead unto sin, but you have made alive unto God. Satan will try. Don't yield to that sin. He will be there. Trust me. And the more you totally turn against this sin, the easier it gets. You have to start. You have to put your foot down. Say, I am a child of God. You turn to God. Fill yourself up with the word of God daily, and then you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. It's very clear. Neither yield yourselves, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Just before we became a Christian, you yield your members unto do the things of the devil. You worked, you were striving, doing and looking out for parties. We're looking out to do bad things. We want to go on the drunk. We want to go and watch pornography. We want to do this. We want to do that. Now, all of a sudden, God changes you. Now you have to work on that to get that stuff out of your system. That's why it says, your instrument, because you put your unrighteous on this, because yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, that your members and from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. All your members, what you have in your mind, whatever you do, commit it unto God. So, Lord, I can't do that, but he has given us the Spirit to do that. We have help, and that's why it's so important to read the Word of God daily. Put it in your system. Become one with the Word of God, and there is no other place that no evil can actually find itself in there, because the Word of God will block it out. That's why darkness and light, darkness doesn't complement light. That's what I was reading in 1 John. It does not agree with it. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. The law has been taken away from you, but you are under grace. When God sees you, and you will make mistakes, trust me, God sees you as a clean child because he understands you. He has forgiven you. But if you continually do that and not do anything about it, it's going to snare you. It's going to catch you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. So why should you do that? Anyone that has this tendency in his heart, he's under grace. I can do whatever I want. There's something wrong. And I'll show it to you. Paul made it very clear what you had become. It's very clear here. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey? He's talking here to the unbeliever and to the believer. Listen to what he is saying. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You come to a crossroad. Who are you going to choose? It's choose today whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord God. Choose the right way. That's what Paul is outlining something. Just because before you come, become before Christ, know you not to whom you yield yourselves. You yield yourself to what? To be the servant of sin before you became a Christian. Now all of a sudden, he's going to show you something here. But God be thanked that you were what? The servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's where everything is cut off. Because once you become a child of God, you are not a sinner anymore. Even though you will fall in this, has nothing to do. You are not a sinner anymore in God's eyes. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You cannot sin. You are begotten of God. He protects you. He keeps you. I can't keep myself. I trust in Jesus for that. He's the only one. And with him, together, we do that because we are one. That's what Paul says here. But thank be God that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's what happens when a person comes born again. He becomes a servant of righteousness. You are just like an apple tree. You're just like a fruit tree. You plant it. What happens? Think it will bear thorns and thistles? No. It will do what? It will bear fruit of what sort it is. That's the way it is when you become born again. You will show up. Your fruits will show up automatically. You become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the men of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Just like I said before you became a child of God, you did exactly what you wanted, what your nature was. Evil, totally, that's what we are. We can't help ourselves. We walk in the way of darkness every day without Christ. Until when you come to know Jesus, young people, listen to me. When you come to know Jesus, you turned around. You are a servant of righteousness. You will do right because it's within you. You don't force yourself and say, hey, I'm going to do right today. It doesn't work that way. It becomes automatic. Sure, you have to put some work in there. Sure, you have to work on it. But it becomes easier and easier. For when you were the servants of sin, you were what? Free from righteousness. You're free. You're not righteous. You're on your way to hell. You have no righteousness. Has nothing to do with you once you are not a child. When you are a sinner, when you turn to Jesus, you are a servant of righteousness. Before that, you are what? You are a servant of evil, and then you become a servant of righteousness. For what fruit? For when we were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in these things, wherefore you now are ashamed? Isn't that true? Have you ever been ashamed of yourself since you became a Christian, what you did? I was. It's just, that's the way it is. It says, well, because you become ashamed, for the end of these things is death. You wonder, thank God for saving me. I could be in hell right now. Trust me. That is the truth. But the grace of God. God had somebody out there to preach to this mortal, to preach to me and tell them Jesus is the only way. The seed was put in the ground, and one day God just shined on that seed and sprang up. That's the way it works, my friends. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the wages of sin? What is a wage of sin? A Christian that's a born-again Christian that is living in sin, he will die, but he wouldn't go to hell. What he's talking about, the wages of sin. If you don't turn to Jesus for salvation, the wages of that sin is eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus did everything in his power to save you and me. He gave himself up so that we can live his life. He made it easy for you and me. It's not hard. That's why it's so important is to read his instruction book. That's why it's so important to get the word of God inside us. And in closing, I have one more verse in Romans 7, 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Paul, he put something out. It's not that he wasn't lost. It's just that's the way it is. Your cry is, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall save me? Who's supposed to deliver me? I'm such in turmoil. I'm such in a way, Lord, I don't know where to turn anymore. My sin is so great. I cannot handle this. I live a life that is pleasing to the flesh. I live for the devil all my life. That's the cry you have. There is no hope. There is no hope. You come into hopelessness. And all of a sudden, Paul says, why Paul wrote, O wretched man that I am. We are wretched. We are blind. We are lost. But God, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, that law of sin is still in your flesh. Your flesh was not saved. Your spirit was saved. And now you have a job to do, is to walk in the holiness of God, in the fear of God, daily. Live a life that is pleasing in his sight, and he will help you. He will bless you. God is not mocked. Whatever you will sow, you will also reap. But always remember, you turn to Jesus. You turn to Jesus for your life, for your salvation. He is there. No matter what's wrong, whatever what you do, forget about the past. Look unto Jesus now. Kneel at the cross, and he will meet you there. He loves you. He loves you and me. And he will do whatever it takes. Because he did whatever it takes to save mankind. But when you bow before him in humbleness and broken heart, he will touch you. He will save you. That's God. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing.